tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage. Road rage.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back. You know, I just think it's I think it's hysterical that people post all these videos of NFL teams, either practice or preseason games, and they post this stuff like gospel, like you follow these players or something in college or whatever, or they're more random, or perhaps you follow a team, or regardless, it's like you're trying to create these alleged truths with these propagandist tools that are just so silly. First of all, it's preseason football. And most of the guys you talk about trying to make the team. The other day I saw this dude trying to make a case that Cade Klubnik could be the next Tom Brady. Ramona is in there laughing. Put your mic back on. Right.
What?
I mean, you are so silly. And this notion that he's going to be some answer is utterly silly. None of that's going to happen. I mean, people posting this throw of a completion to Garrett Williams. Yeah, it's on the catch. The throw was awful. The throw was high and behind him. It was terrible. The throw could have got him killed. The throw was just atrocious. He was wide open on the in-break. The ball's got to be out in front of him, and he catches it in stride and is still running. The throw was god-awful, terrible. And then we're going to post Klubnik stats and say, well, he threw for 50 yards on 5 of 7, or whatever. You know, and he's just an example. You know, and I see this all over. If you think that all of the truth that, you know, DJ Uiagalelei on a waggle bootleg threw a touchdown pass, and again, it showed his arm strength on that, which he's always had. But if you think that you know, Cade Klubnik and DJ Uiagalelei are somehow magically going to be something better than they were at Clemson, you are delusional. It doesn't get easier at the next level, okay? And Cade Klubnik is not the next quarterback of the New York Jets. The next quarterback of the New York Jets is playing college football this season. The Jets are 100% drafting a quarterback in round one this year. That is happening. The answer is not on the roster at that position. But this is true regardless of team, player. It's just this constant barrage. Like right now I'm watching Bryce Young. Caroline Sorrow, no offense. I don't know who you are, but I'm sure you're. Let me just click on her and see what it says she is. She is a sports anchor reporter for Fox Carolina News. There you go. Well, Caroline's posting highlights. And again, this is her job. I'm not condemning her for this. This is her job. She's posted a photo or a video of Bryce Young throwing to Xavier Legette against air, which, of course, means absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing. It means nothing. It means zero, less than zero. You know, anybody can throw against air. Again, this is not a shot at Caroline. This is just an example that popped up right in front of my face. I don't even really want to use this example, but all I see the last few days is this kind of stuff all over the league. Different teams, different players, I mean, and celebrating like nonsensical stuff. Nonsensical stuff. Stuff that is not legitimate at all. A lot of these guys are not even going to make teams. So the nonsensical stuff is just craziness. Yeah, but that's what you see. And maybe it's just the time of year. We're getting closer. People have to post something. They have to do something. Maybe that's it. You know, from a Clemson standpoint, Peter Woods had a zero tackle, zero impact game. Now, he was actually doubled sometimes in this in this spring game, probably more than he was doubled here. But and then Parker had a sack, and so that gets highlighted. But what they don't tell you is that the other end is the guy who really got defensive penetration, and Parker was going up against a tight end, one-on-one against the tight end. And he did sort of bull rush into a sack against a tight end, which, you know, you take that for what that's worth. But, you know, that's a dilemma. For me personally, after watching last season and being so disappointed with the play of these guys, it's just hard to go and watch them and say, oh, I'm pulling for this guy. After watching them not produce anything for this team last year, I don't feel all warm and fuzzy about them. Sorry, I just don't. I don't feel all warm and fuzzy about any of those guys. I thought they were all major disappointments. And since I just don't think that they put up for Clemson last year,
I don't think they do either.
Right. So I don't feel obligated to be like, to root for them.
Right,
at the pro level. I just don't. That obligation got canceled with their performance last year.
Right.
I don't feel like I have
they
to be.
They played for us first.
Right. And so I don't feel like I have to be this big cheerleader for them now. I thought they were all incredibly disappointing last year. And quite honestly, I don't think any of them are going to be standouts in the NFL. Not that group. Not the group of guys I just discussed. I don't think any of them are special, and I don't think any of them are going to stand out. And I don't think that, a couple of them might start somewhere, and you have that, but I don't think any of them played. I think the reality is none of them were as good as they were billed. I think that's one truth about it. So, yeah. Tex said, agree. I'm rooting for Antonio Williams. Exactly. Tex said, well, you take Cade Namath. I mean, Joe Klubnik. I mean, Cade Klubnik's name out of your mouth. That's funny. That is very funny. Texas said third string tight end. Yes. Texas said that orange Kool-Aid is saying that. Probably same people last week were bashing Kay. That's from Travis. What's this Georgia fan saying? Walt, I really like the Tigers this year. I think you all beat Miami. Well, how about that from a Georgia fan? Yeah, I don't know about that. Noah says preseason means nothing. Like, the Arizona Cardinals have a combined 4 incompletions in 2 games of football this year. We'll finish last in their division. Right. Preseason football just in general means absolutely nothing. There's no outcome that has any carryover. You know, you watch it to see a few players play and make sure some of your young stars don't get hurt. I thought Mendoza looked pretty good. I mean, look, we saw a preseason game where Kenny Pickett, with the likes of Kenny Pickett, excelled. So, yeah, I don't know. SEC Ader says, do you bring the house after Levitt early to see if he's 100%? I think what you make sure you do early is stop the run, which will put pressure on Levitt. And then, yeah, you got to test him. And quite honestly, you know, I'm sorry to say this, okay? Actually, I'm not. But if the opposing quarterback is coming off Liz Frank surgery, I want to test that surgery.
What is that surgery?
It's a condition. It's a very painful, very significant injury of the midfoot area.
Ah, okay.
And in his case, it required nuts and bolts to
repair it. That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, and those are removed in the spring. So I would want to test that. You know, I don't mean just by seeing him run around a little bit. I would like to know whether that injury can take a hit.
Yeah, that sounds like you have to test a lot on that.
Yeah, I would like to know. Right. So when you drag him to the ground, if that particular foot gets some extra love, I would be okay with that. I would be okay with that. I mean, that's the nature of the game. We got to stop acting like it's not. I mean, dude has a Liz Frank injury. Okay, I want to check on it. I want him to be well. I want to check on his wellness. We'll do a wellness check on him.
Let's see how well it stretches.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Man. I'm certainly not going to help protect his healed foot, if you know what I mean. Ted said, well, if you're dead, but what are you telling your team of coaches we are going to have to do to win? And then the same question for Lane Kiffin. Well, again, as I said in the beginning, these are two teams that did not run the ball last year. I think both teams have to prove that they can run the football. And equally, I think both teams have to prove that they can stop the run and put the game completely on the plate of the opposing quarterback. I think that's what you have to do. In the case of LSU with Christopher Vezina, which I'll assume it's going to be, Vezina has one start in his career. You got to test him. They're going to test him the same way they tested Klubnik last year. But the only way they can really do that is if they stuff the run first. Baker's going to be hyper-aggressive. Now, you know he's coming after you. And again, from a Clemson standpoint, that's why early in the game, you have to cool that down. You get to cool it down by running the ball, some pressure release stuff. You got to cool that down. And maybe quickly getting the ball out. I know Clemson fans don't like wide receiver screens, but maybe quickly getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands to your playmakers in space. You know, again, Chad Morris was brought here for some of the specific things that are indicative of a Chad Morris offense. One of those things is an ability to run the ball with some physicality and imagination. Another is the ability to get the ball into his playmaker's hands in space in one-on-one and create one-on-one matchups. That's a big part of how Chad Morris views offense. Finally, you want to be able to stretch the field. And there wasn't enough of that last year. You do not want to play in a 10-yard box. And so stretching the field is vital, whether you complete those throws or not. So they're not wasted downs. They are changing the nature of the way the defense can play you when you stretch the field. So Chad is going to want to accomplish all of those things and relatively early in the game. All right, we have lots to get to. You can get in if you want, 654-7627, 654-7627. That's the number to call. Get in and join the conversation.
The Roar's 2026 College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers as they break down everything you need to know. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hey, let me tell you about my friends at AMPM Farms, Ashley and Platt Moore. They're simply the best. The AMPM Farms, named after the owners, Ashley and Platt, hence the...
Six. I want to check on that year, but I have that right? It's 2026?
It is.
The unknown comic is trending. The dude with the bag over his head?
Yeah.
From, like, Gong Show fame? He and Gene the Dancing Machine. The unknown comic. Now, you're telling me that dude's 82 years old, so he didn't die.
That's what I said, because you know I look it up right when you...
But how would you know? I mean, how would you know he's 82? He's unknown. He's unknown. Will he be buried with a bag on his head when he dies?
Oh, no.
He has to be, doesn't he?
I don't know.
The unknown comic. He's got to be buried with a bag on his head, right? I would think. I mean, is it... So on the tombstone itself, it's just going to say the unknown comic. No name.
No name.
Can't have a name. Why? Are you saying the dude has a name?
Yeah.
Why is he trending? Could you tell me that?
I couldn't find anything current.
So he's alive. He didn't die.
I know. I couldn't find. I thought maybe if I pulled his name up, there would be an article. Like
he's just
did
trending
something or whatever.
For some random reason.
Yeah.
All right, Ramon, before we get to the AP poll, which just came out, and I want to talk about for a minute. Before we get to that, I want to play a little clip for you. This actually happened live. We have this clip, right, from this Detroit news station?
Yes, we do.
Okay. This actually happened live on air, and this woman is talking to this older dude who is trying to keep a straight face during this segment. It is not working. He is basically almost all the way bowed forward. His head's getting, it's like Will Muschamp at a press conference after a South Carolina loss.
except this guy is except this guy's red faced and happy for a different reason. This guy does not know what to do. He does not know what to say. He wants to laugh his way under the table. And the woman doesn't help him on it because she just keeps going in a 40-second clip. So this is a Detroit news station. This is real. This is 100% legitimate. This occurred on air.
Not before they go on the show, specifically make it longer.
Yeah, that is if you can provide yourself with food, and again, they're ice fishing because everything is frozen, and you're looking for fat in the beaver.
Yeah,
the beaver is the most sought after.
It is.
Ryan, do you think you could eat beaver? It's fat and then it's meat.
It made them all sick, though. They all got sick after it.
Well, you can't eat diseased animals.
Oh, God.
What about a moose?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about this show, okay. Gina, but you're really funny.
Okay.
You are a really funny gal.
We want to hear from you.
So this starts out, Ramona, completely innocent. This woman has like no idea the road she's walking down. But
it didn't seem like it.
No, but this guy can no longer actually speak. He's not capable of speaking. There were two males there, and the older guy
was trying to help.
Right. He's trying to stay out of it.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't really want to be involved in it. And
he knows why the guy was laughing.
Right. The other guy, though, he can't stop laughing. His face is bright red. He's bent over. And she's asking, you know, can you eat the beaver? The beaver's fatty. And can you eat the beaver? Do you like to eat the beaver? It's like the guy in Bucky's. Bucky's.
God bless.
God bless the beaver.
We love that.
We do.
Guy.
God bless the beaver.
We do.
Road rage. We love the beaver. One more time, and then we'll go to Jason. Now, careful, Jason. We don't invite.
Yeah.
We do not invite you people to participate in our mad segments.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not before they go on the show, specifically make it longer.
Yeah, that is if you can provide yourself with food, and again, they're ice fishing because everything is frozen, and you're looking for fat in the beaver.
Yeah,
the beaver is the beaver is the most sought after.
It is.
Ryan, do you think you could eat beaver? It's fat and then
There's fat in the beaver, and the beaver, that all depends. And the beaver is the most sought after. Do you think you could eat beaver? This all happened live on TV, and it kept going. The beaver's the most sought after, Ryan. Do you think you could eat beaver? Guy's under the table. His face is red.
Yeah.
He can't stop laughing. His head is bowed toward the front of the table. He's trying to hide on there.
At the end, he said, I'm leaving.
I'm leaving. Jason, good to have you, Jason.
I don't know why I called in. during the segment, I was thinking about it, and then once I realized what you're talking, I actually sent that clip to one of my best friends earlier today, so it was hilarious. Anyway, I'll leave that one alone for once. So, welcome back, Ramona, obviously.
Thank you.
I'm sure you read Dante's Inferno three or four times while on vacation, and you are ready to go. No, of course, I'm kidding. Ramona, I've never read Dante's Inferno, so you got one over on me.
I was so
bad at Clemson that one time I had a professor... I managed to scam him when I wrote my paper, but I didn't know that he was going to have a 10-question quiz when you turn the paper in.
Uh-huh.
And I failed 8 out of the 10, and because I hadn't read it, I just BS'd the whole essay. And he told me he would not grade my essay until I passed that quiz. So then I had to go back and it was Wuthering Heights, which is actually my favorite book now. So I had to go back and read it like in one day.
Okay, the book club session's over now.
So your degree is
we're done
false.
With the Wuthering Heights section. Hey, Ramona, you know, we got 8 million people on the text line all over this, all laughing their butts off. And then we got this one sad sack guy. Listen to this, Ramona. This one sad sack guy, 346. Poor Ramona, what an awkward and unnecessary segment. No one else thinks so but you, buddy. No one else thinks so but you. Hey, get a life. Try laughing. And by the way, it wasn't a segment. It was like 2 minutes, you friggin' loser.
I thought I was a sad sack. I'm just relieved that Walt wasn't referring to me.
God almighty. I mean, are you kidding? Ramona's in there laughing her butt off. This guy's concerned for you, Ramona. This guy's concerned that...
It was hilarious. Walt, you got to look it up sometime. I won't say it, but there's a funny clip of... remember Shepard Smith on Fox News? And one of his co-anchors... There was a reference to Steve Spurrier and the South Carolina Gamecocks after she had a flub on. He basically said she was a big fan of Steve Spurrier after she had a little flub on air. So, but anyway, you have to look that up. Maybe I'll send it to you if I can find it. Anyway, hey, if I could shift gears awkwardly, I was going to go back to Clemson football. And, man, one of the things that really kind of stood out to me, you're talking about kind of some of these guys we got rid of to the NFL. And I'm kind of with you. The way that they behaved on their way out the door, I'm kind of like, you know, whatever, blasé about what they do in the NFL. I really pull for Antonio and Adam Randall.
Yeah,
it was great to see Adam Randall get a touchdown. So, you know, there were some good guys in the group. But I tell you, one thing stood out to me this weekend, Walt, was I watched that ACC road trip thing when they came to Clemson that they do every year. And just... The segment they had with Chad Morris, you know, like you said, the text line melted down originally. Then we gradually have come back to this is, you know, the glory days. But it made me think about it within the context of some of these guys that we had on the team that were like not good leaders. And when you hear Chad Morris talk, I think it's just impossible not to get fired up. Now, I know we got to see it on the field, so I'm not trying to get you into a vibe.
Vibes. We're back to the vibes. We're vibing.
We're vibing. I'm contrasting him with Garrett Riley, and maybe his ability to jerk some of these guys in line. Although I guess that didn't really work with Tom Allen. Tom Allen's certainly a what I would consider an alpha personality, but it still made me. I think there's something to be said for the way that Chad Morris approaches the game. I don't know, man. What do you think? I think it's tough sometimes to be a laid back coordinator, especially if you've got, I don't want to say that part of it.
You know, Jason, I'll tell you what's a little ironic about you making this argument is that
Bill Walsh.
Exactly right.
But Bill Walsh was a stickler. You know, we were laughing about Bengal John the other day, and I said I thought maybe he went back in time because Bill Walsh would get so irate if things weren't done correctly in practice. He would make them do it over and over and over again. And they said his genius was he wouldn't chew out the players. He would chew out Mike Holmgren and Mike Shanahan and the assistants in front of the players. And then the players felt so bad that they tried to stand up for their guys.
But he viewed football as a business trip. And he did not believe in, you know, this notion of emotion. He actually, you want totally contrasting styles in a relatively same time period. Marty Schottenheimer was all rah, 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 all emotion, all the time. Home field advantage meant everything. It was all that. It was defense. It played to that. It played to emotion. It played to physicality. Bill Walsh made it a work trip. He was the exact opposite. He wanted to take all emotion out of all road games, gone. He wanted it to be a business trip, a mechanical operation, strictly a mechanical operation.
Yeah, you want a precision.
Right, and because of that, he won on the road.
Yeah, and maybe in my mind, because as soon as you said, it's funny, I said I knew you were going to go with Bill Walsh, because And maybe I'm trying to justify it in my mind that Bill Walsh could treat these NFL guys more like actual professionals versus maybe some of the younger kids that are in college. But I don't know. You make a valid point there. But I think I'm just hopeful that part of Chad's presence this season will bleed through to maybe some of the more blue-collar, hopefully talented guys that are coming up now.
Yeah. Jason, again, I don't know how to read it, okay, because – like I said, day one, this was met with the type of resistance I have never seen here. It was 100%. You can't get two people to agree on anything today. It was 100% unanimous. The texters hated this trial balloon of Chad Morris. And like a week later, they all loved it, all doing kumbaya. And there have been no games played. There have been nothing but words. We hear words every year. Every single year we hear words. Every year we hear the vibe and everything's great. We hear that from every team in America. That's what people do. But the reality is we don't have any idea. You know, we don't know whether this is going to work.
Especially this year.
Right. Whether it's not going to work. We're all going to find out a lot of things about both these teams that night. And until we do, it's hard to say. I mean, I think the game is going to be close in part as much because of the questions I have about both teams versus the positivity I feel regarding both teams. I think each team has a whole series of questions that needs to be asked and answered, and the answers aren't going to come until that night.
Yeah. Last thing, it's funny that Riley and Morris are both Texas old school football boys, and yet they have just such drastically different personalities. That just stood out to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. And I hey, Jason, I hope your vibes work.
It worked for the genius.
There you go. I hope your vibes rule the day, Jason. I'm all over. I'm in favor of your vibes working. So let's hope the vibes work. I don't know. Part of me just goes back to that first day. And if you had seen the text line on that first day, I mean, it was just crazy negative. And now it's all flipped around and not a single thing has happened. There have been no games. There have been no anything. It's just the vibes. It's the vibes. But again, we heard the same vibes about Garrett Riley. You know, everyone was excited about Garrett Riley. And obviously none of that worked. We'll be back.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts?
Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan?
Whatever the reason,
give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line
at 864-654-ROAR.
The Roar, where your voice is always heard.
Hey, let me tell you about my friend Jeannie Mahaffey. And when I say salt of the earth woman, what a wonderful, incredible human being Jeannie is. That's where it starts. And so you need a wonderful.
You always do. And that's the reason I listen to you every day.
Thank you, Bill.
And, hey, you remember, I'm hearing good things out of fall camp. I heard, I listened to Mickey a lot this morning, just talking about Dabo, you know, maybe sandbagging is what they call it. And I know, you know, not giving props and kind of taking a different approach because he had a lot of fat and happy players last year because of the money going in their account. I mean, let's just cut, you know, yeah. That's just what that's just what it is. And I feel like, and I'm being cautiously optimistic. I think there are going to be I think they're more hungry this year. And as you've said several times, well, there's still a lot of talent on this team. The way he talks about Ashton Hampton, Dabo does, as well as Sammy Brown. We all know about that. I mean, we know about the receivers. Anyway, all that being said, my question to you, do you think that being hungry, having less talent, I mean, 9 drafted, do you still think that Clemson could, you know, have a great season? And when I say a great season, you know, they kind of circle 2 games, and that's Miami and LSU because they bought the rosters and they invested a lot of money in there. but a lot of people keep on circling Cal because of a Friday night game. I'm honestly not too worried about that. What do you think that Clemson, if they play up and they stay hungry and Vezina does work out and they establish the running game like Coach Morris has came in to do, that he claimed he's going to dedicate himself to the run. But we know we have elite receivers.
Billy, do you know how many ifs you just gave me? I'm not playing devil's advocate, but I'm just making a point. So the way that works is you start multiplying them, okay? So it's if times if times if times if, and do you know what you get then? See, I think there are a lot of questions. Now, whether there are answers.
But there's questions with everybody, Walt. There's questions with everybody.
Clemson has more questions than they've had. What you're hoping for is that you're hoping that a bunch of these ifs all go in your favor. Is that possible? Yes. Is it likely? I don't think you're headed for any magical season. I would be surprised. I've been surprised before. Hell, I was surprised by last year's season. Very surprised in that none of the names showed up. They collected, but they didn't show up. And I think there was a chemistry issue. Do I think that the chemistry is better this year? From what I understand, yeah, I do. I think that it's better. But, you know, you're giving me a few individual players and talking about, you know, Ashton Hampton and Sammy Brown. But it's got to be more than that. I mean, Chicago Bears had Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers and couldn't win a freaking game. You know, the quarterback position is a complete unknown. I don't see how anybody can say otherwise at this point. You just have no idea. I mean, I ranked Christopher Vezina ninth in my ACC quarterback rankings. That's still the most important position on the field. That's still the most important position on the field. So I think I have a lot of questions about LSU and some of the same questions. And you have two teams that really never committed and didn't run the ball successfully last year. Both of them are hoping to run the ball better this year and seem like they're more committed to it. Does that happen? Is it as simple as which team runs the ball best in that game wins that game? I think it might be. I think it might be as simple as that. The team that runs the ball best in that game winds up winning the game.
Walt, I heard, and I agree 110%. Hey, look, every time I get your input, I mean, I take – it's very credible. I'll just leave it at that. I take it very I heard Gideon busted off a 60.
I'm high on him.
Yard run.
I'm high on him. As I've said, I've said forever now, months, that he's going to be the star featured back of this team. And people have written me and said, well, you know, but well, I think it's going to be Chris Johnson. I said, that's not happening. Chris Johnson's a satellite back. He's going to be limited in touches, if you want to keep him upright, to like 10 total touches per game. Gideon Davidson's going to get the ball 16 to 22 times a game. I think that's the plan. That would be my plan. I think Davidson has the ability to be elite. I think he's a 1,000-yard rusher this year. And if he's not, then I think the season has gone wrong. I think if Gideon Davidson does not rush for 1,000 yards this year, then I think the season has gone sideways again. I think he needs to give you 1,000. I think Chris Johnson needs to give you 500. Davidson's going to be the guy. He's going to be inside and outside. But again, the thing, I have people say, but Walt, he didn't have any big runs last year. Who did? I mean, first of all, he didn't get any work. He didn't really get much volume in terms of carries. Clemson never committed to running the ball, so I don't know how anybody judges him off of that. And then people think, well, but he doesn't have long speed. Well, that's false. He ran a 10.600 meter in high school, which Adam Randall's best time was 10.88. So Gideon Davidson factually faster than Adam Randall.
Wow. Wow. By the way, Myrtle Beast got two stud receivers and a stud quarterback this year. But anyway, I'm going to take your comments off the air, Walt. Last thing, I know you're up against the break. Clemson, and this hypothetically, controls the line of scrimmage on both sides against LSU. Vezina's going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, let's not fool ourselves here. He's moving the chains, as Dabo says. Does Clemson, I know you said they're going to stay in this game. Can they win this game if they control both lines of scrimmage? And Good show, Walt, always.
Yeah, thank you, Later, Billy. Buddy. Appreciate the kind words. Yeah, I mean, if Clemson wins the line of scrimmage, they'll win the game. I mean, barring some ridiculous number of turnovers or something. Yeah. Clemson wins the line of scrimmage, they will win the game. If they win the line of scrimmage on both sides, that's the way football works. So that'd be the case. Again, that to me goes back to this running game thing. I think the team that wins this game, barring, you know, one team turns it over four times versus one or something, my expectation is the team that runs the ball more successfully will win this game. Because I think that's the area that both teams have to be better in. So which team most improved in that area? We'll be back.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 96.